I have an announcement about the turkey. I got back there and realized it's not going to be ready in time. See, with a turkey, especially a big old frozen turkey like that, you have to really think ahead, don't you? It's not something you can just go get and make. You have to think ahead in at least two ways. One, you have to buy that thing at around a week in advance because it takes a long time to thaw. The safest way to thaw a turkey is put it in the fridge and just let it get warm very slowly. And that takes a long time. But then when you cook it, let's say it takes every 4 pounds, it takes an hour to cook roughly. So if you have a 20-pound bird, that could take 5 hours. So, you know, turkey is not an expensive meat. It's, you know, you could get a turkey for maybe $1, $1.50 a pound. If you go buy some good lunch meat, that's a lot more than $1, $1.50 a pound. But the thing about a turkey is that it just takes so much planning that you don't really do it as probably as often as you should. Some things you just really need to think about and get ready for ahead of time. And a turkey is like that. We have one in the refrigerator right now that we may do this weekend, and it's been in there a long time, and it's still going to be in there a long time. But we had to really think ahead. And some things are like that. Well, tonight we're going to start a series based on something that Rhonda and I watch called The British Baking Show. How many of you ever heard of that? British Baking Show. Two of you besides me. Okay. It's on Netflix, and we really love this show. I don't know what's so addicting about it, but every Friday a new episode gets released, and Rhonda and I try to watch it when we can. Now, sometimes we're busy and we can't watch it right away, but we try to watch the next episode of this series called The British Baking Show. And I think there have been at least 10 seasons. And it's one of those shows where at the beginning of the season, you start with 12 people. And every week, one of them gets voted off until you have a winner. So they bake things. Really, really interesting things. And it's a group of gifted, talented, artistic people. They are really, really skilled at baking things. And they make these amazing things with these time limits, really hard things under pressure. So there are three rounds each week. In the first round, they come in knowing what they are going to make. And they have time to prepare and practice and plan it out at home. So the first round they can get ready for. The second round, they have no idea what they're about to make. They just all get ready around their little kitchen areas. And then they say, you're going to bake this. And they pull up a blanket or something and all the ingredients are there. And it's kind of a harder round because they don't know what's coming. Then the third round is called the showstopper. And that's when they really use everything they've got, all their ingredients and their talents and all their time and energy to make something and do their very best. Everything has to be perfect. The presentation, the flavor, the texture, the temperature, it all has to be perfect. So then the judges come together, and at the very end, based on how they've done, they pick two people. They pick a star baker, person who's done the very best, and then they pick someone who has to get voted off. And it's really a hard decision every week because these are really, really talented, gifted people that care about what they're doing, okay? They care about what they're doing. So when they send someone home, everyone hugs and cries, and it's really sad. I don't mean Rhonda and me. We don't hug and cry. We the people on the show hug and cry, and that's the end of the show. So I had this idea. I was thinking about the three parts of this show, And I was thinking about the part where you prepare and plan. There's a part where you have no idea what's coming. And finally, there's a part where you really have to pull out all the stops and just do your use everything you have to do your very best. Those are a lot like different situations that we all face, right? All of us face situations where, hey, we know what's coming. We may not know when, but we know something's coming, and we need to be smart and plan now, prepare now for something we know is coming later. Then we have situations where we have no idea what's coming, and when it hits us, it just, boom, there it is. It just hits us. And then we have situations where we really need to do our very best, give our very best, show our very best, and not just do it halfway. So I thought we would take 3 weeks, talk about these three different situations, maybe have a little funny food thing like the turkey. By the way, I had no idea Jeff was going to read that about the Betterball hotline. I had no idea he was going to do that, and I brought out a turkey. So those are the three things we're going to talk about. And tonight we're going to talk about getting ready or planning or preparing for situations that we know are coming. Maybe we don't know when they're coming, but we know some things in life are going to happen. So the word prepare in the Bible, it shows up around 200 times, some form, like prepared or preparing, prepareth. That shows up about 200 times in the Bible. And so I want to just read a few well-known verses and just to remind you of some kind of famous places. Here's one I thought of in Isaiah 40, verse 3. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Now, this is actually, this was written maybe 600 years before John the Baptist and Jesus, but it's about John the Baptist and Jesus. It's called a prophecy. It's something written ahead of time. And this is a verse that tells a little bit about what John the Baptist will do as he makes a way, he prepares the way for Jesus. Jesus even used this verse and said, that's about John the Baptist when he's talking about me. So we're pretty on pretty safe ground, that's what that is. But it's a famous verse with the word prepare. Another one I thought of is in John 14, 2. This is what Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. So Jesus tells the disciples, I'm going to go. I'm not going to be with you for a while, but I'm going to go prepare a place for you. I don't have a verse for this, but it's interesting in the book of Jonah how the word prepare shows up. I think I've talked about this before when I talked about Jonah. The word prepare shows up four times in the book of Jonah. The first time is when it says that the Lord prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. Then later, he prepared a gourd to grow up and give Jonah shade. Then in the very next verse, God prepared a worm to eat the gourd. And then in the very next verse, he prepared a strong wind. So that those are four kind of interesting times the word prepared shows up in the book of Jonah. Here's the last time the word prepared shows up in the Bible. It's near the very end in chapter 21. Revelation 21, 2, it says, and I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. That's the last time the word prepared shows up in the Bible. And it talks about how the Lord has prepared that place, prepared New Jerusalem as a bride adorned for her husband. I thought that was a good one, too. So when you prepare, you are getting ready for something later. You are using your time now to get ready, to plan, to think ahead for something that's going to happen later. That's what prepared is. And it's true. You know, what we do now matters later. What we do right now in this thing called time or this moment matters later. Life just isn't the here and now. It has to do with things that are later. I heard a good definition about even what life is, and I believe this. I believe that life is the chance we have to get ready for eternity. Life is preparation for eternity. When you are using your life to prepare, you're getting ready for forever. So it's important not to just get up and caught up all in the moment and live for the here and now and go for the gusto. It is wise to use now to prepare for later, because you know later is coming. I read all 200 of these verses, and the one that spoke to me the most of all places was in 1 Chronicles chapter 22. Now, this is when David was at the end of his career and really his life. Now, David was a preparer. He saw things coming and got ready. The word prepared happens a lot in 1 Chronicles. I just picked one or two times. He didn't ever wing it. He didn't ever call it in. He really used now to prepare for later. And he's a great example of someone who got ready for things. And David said, Solomon, my son, is young and tender, and the house that is to be builded for the Lord must be exceeding magnificent, of fame and of glory throughout all the countries. I will therefore now make preparation for it. And David prepared abundantly before his death. That's a great verse. David prepared abundantly before his death. Before David passed, before his life was over, he prepared abundantly before his death. That's a fantastic verse. It lets us see some of the reasons David was a great leader. He's thinking ahead. He's getting ready. He understands that even after this life, things keep moving. So he prepared so the Lord will be magnified. He prepared abundantly before his death. That's what I want to talk about in our last few minutes tonight. It's how to use our lives to prepare for things bigger than right now. You know, there are things bigger than right now. It may not seem like it. We may come in here tonight and have a lot of problems. We may have things that don't go our way. We have people mad at us, or we may be mad at people. You know, so am I. But there are things bigger than what's happening right now. And it's important to use right now to prepare for bigger things later. But there's a bit of a catch, and that is we don't know exactly when our lives are going to be over. Sometimes it would be good if we did. Maybe it's best that we don't. But we don't know when that moment is when we have to face up and stand face to face to Jesus. We don't know when that's going to, we know it will happen. We just don't know when. So we have to be like David. We have to always be preparing because we don't know exactly how long to prepare. Now, I know two things, and I believe this with all my heart. First of all, I believe the Bible, when it says Jesus is coming back, I believe that. I believe there will be a day when he physically comes back and meets us. I believe that. And I also know that I'm not going to live in this body forever. I know that. I can tell the changes in my body and the things that I can do that I couldn't and I cannot do that I could. I just know that my body, this body, is not equipped for eternity. I need a new body. So I know two things. I know that someday Jesus is coming back, and someday I'm not going to live in this body forever. I just don't know when those things are going to be. I know they're going to happen, but I don't know when they are going to happen. Lots of verses tell us that we're going to be face-to-face with Jesus. We don't know when, but I need to prepare now for that moment later. I know I need to do that. Rhonda and I, when the boys were younger, she used to take them on trips. And she still is, but boy, when the boys were young, she was just such a good mom, such a good mom. Oh, God bless her. And she would take them on trips, and I, for whatever reason, I couldn't go. I would have to work, or I'd have to stay with the church. And most of the times, this would happen when we lived in New Jersey, and we would want the boys to be with her parents and my parents around the holidays. And so we just had an understanding that I would come out later, but she would go ahead and take the boys on ahead, and we would load them up in the car, and she would drive the almost 1,200 miles by herself. And I would have loved to have gone with them, but I just couldn't. So off they would go. I would see them drive away, and you know, Brock would be crying because I couldn't go with him, and it would just be a sad thing, and it's a very touching moment. But they would drive away, and I would see the taillights, and I would think, this house is all mine right now. I can do whatever I want. I can watch whatever I want on TV, however loud I want. I can eat whatever I want. I can go to any fast food place all hours of the night. I can sleep as late as I want. I can listen to whatever I want. I can wear whatever I want, go to bed when I want. And most of all, I don't have to pick anything up for a while. I can just leave the dishes in the sink. I don't have to make the bed. I can just leave the place in a mess. Something would happen every single time. I would try my hardest, but the place would just look so bad, I couldn't help it. I tried not to leave it a mess, but it would just be so messy. Now, when that would happen, there's one piece of information that was the most important piece of information to me. Can anyone guess what it is? When's she coming back? Because I would know exactly when she's coming back, the very hour. So if she'd say, honey, I think I'm going to be there at noon on the 29th. Well, about 9 a.m. on the 29th, I'd get busy and start cleaning. Not a moment before, but about 3 hours before her and the boys would come back, I'd start working my hardest. I'd start cleaning up. I'd invite friends over if I had to help me. But before then, I didn't have to do anything. I could just let it go. Now, let me ask you this. What if when she pulled out, she said this, honey, we'll be back. I don't exactly know when. I don't really know even the day, but we are coming back. As I saw those tail lights go, I'd be thinking, what if it's tonight? What if it's tomorrow? What if it's in an hour? I just don't know when it is. I had to live differently, right? I couldn't just leave the house a mess. I had to always keep it clean because I didn't know exactly when she was coming back. Because if she were to come back and saw some of the messes I had, let me tell you, I'd be in trouble. Amen? I would be in trouble. Because I didn't know exactly when she's coming back, I had to live like she could come back any moment. Amen? Amen. I think that, now I don't know, I don't want to say I know why God did something, because his ways are higher than my ways, but I just wonder if that's one of the reasons we don't know when Jesus is coming back. If we knew he's coming back in 2024, June 1st, well, on May 31st, we'd get all clean, right? We could live how we wanted a day, or we could just get clean, do, and be ready for him to receive us. But because we don't know when he's coming back, we have to live differently. We have to live like I did when I didn't know when Rhonda was coming back. You know, it's healthy. It's a healthy thing that we don't know, because he could come back any second, and we want him to find us, the Bible says, doing well, living well, witnessing well, giving our lives well, using our gifts well. That's what we need to be doing. I said this a couple weeks ago, the best way to use your life, the best way to use your gifts is helping other people. Helping other people get closer to Jesus. If you look back and you have prepared that way, you won't regret it. If you get to the end of your life and you look back and you could say, I use my gifts helping other people learn more or meet Jesus, you won't regret that life. I think that's why, I know we're going to see him someday, but I think that may be why we don't know when. So our lives don't get cluttered, so they don't get messy. So we don't see the taillights and think I can live however I want, because I know exactly when he's coming back, because we don't know. We don't know when. So get ready now. Prepare. That's the event you know is coming. You just don't know when. So use your lives now to get ready for that event that you know is coming. Either one of two ways. Either he's coming back, or we know that our bodies won't last forever. Father, thank you, Lord, for a chance to be reminded how important it is to get ready now for the moment we see you. Help us do that. Help us do that well. Help us be as ready as we can be, Lord, to meet you either when you return or our lives are over. Lord, help us look forward to that day. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we'll see you next week at the Esquire. We have a special special thing planned next week. You won't want to miss it. We'll see you next week.